You're listening to GeekCast Radio on GeekCastRadio.com.
Into this world all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Stop typing, asshat.
Well, you're busy doing nonsense.
I started the recorder, you dumbass.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to GeekCaster Radio, episode 26. I am your host, Dave, Joe, and Mike, and joining me today is Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello.
Good day. Even though it's not day.
You sound so pleasant.
What's happening?
There you go. Today we're going to be talking about the best cable TV has to offer in the form of original series over the years. However, before we get to that, we're going to talk about our TV watching habits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've broken mine down to two lists. One list is networks, what networks I always watch, and the other list is a few shows that I always watch. One list has more than the other.
Let's hear it.
So for networks... And I have notes next to these that kind of defend them, so that way you don't, you're like, oh, that's gay.
Are you actually prepared for a podcast?
Shut up. Disney Channel. I just constantly watch Disney Channel. I'm actually starting to getting out of watching Disney Channel because all the new stuff they're coming out with, like Ant Farm and My Babysitter's a Vampire, I don't care for all that crap. But I watch Disney Channel for stuff like Hannah Montana, Wizards of Waverly Place, Zack and Cody. Phineas and Ferb is really mainly why I watch Disney Channel. So that's one network that I always watch. TNT, I mainly watch for Law and Order reruns. I do try to catch some of their other programming, but it's mostly for their reruns of Law and Order. Their reruns of Numbers, their reruns of Angel, stuff like that. USA, I've watched USA for years. I mean, literally, I remember I was in the hospital in 1994, and I was watching USA for the 2 days that I was in the hospital. I love USA. I mainly watch, like, White Collar and stuff like that on there. I also watch that for the Law & Order Special Victims Unit reruns. And some of the movies they have on USA are pretty good, too, as well as TNT. I didn't bring that up on TNT. HGTV. Don't laugh. It's educational, for Christ's sake. I mean, I've been watching HGTV for at least 4 years now, and I know everything there is to know about buying a house. I am prepared if I ever bought a house.
I was obsessed with that when I was buying my house, when I was looking.
History Channel for Pawn Stars, American Restoration, and American Pickers. I cannot believe, and this is something that we will not get into now, but I cannot believe they've given Larry the Cable Guy his own show on the friggin' History Channel. That's so weird to me. WGN. Wait, what are you saying?
I said I did not need to know that.
Yeah, it's Across America with Larry the Cable Guy, where it's along the same lines as like Pawn Stars and American Pickers, where Larry's going across the country learning about different shit.
Well, he has a lot of learning to do, so.
WGN, actually. I watched this, again, for a lot of reruns of stuff. Walker Texas Ranger being one of them. It's actually the only network on TV right now in my area that actually carries Walker in reruns. I also watch it because outside of ESPN, it's the only network that I can actually see baseball, even though it's the Cubs.
Yeah.
Right now, the Cubs aren't doing so well.
They're in a rain delay, I think, but maybe they just came back from it.
No, I don't mean right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's right this moment. I mean, like, right now it's the season. The Cubs aren't doing
well. That statement's always true, no matter when you say it. So.
Well, I was so pleased about, like, you know, normally I don't... Normally, if I catch baseball, I catch it on ESPN or something, because ESPN's a national network, and they'll show any game, whatever. But a few weeks ago, I caught Cubs on GN, and it's like, wow, they're playing the Red Sox. I love the Red Sox, hell yeah. And they kicked the Cubs' ass, thank God.
Whatever.
Next one is Cartoon Network, but only for certain shows. I do not watch Cartoon Network as much as I used to. I actually am loathing on Cartoon Network a lot these days.
Yeah.
True TV. I mainly watch this a lot nowadays. Pretty much anything that they have on after 5 p.m., I will watch it. it's just from Hardcore Pawn to Most Shocking to Most Daring to... what's the other one? I forget. I watch it all the time. I used to watch Oxygen for the Tori and Dean shows, but right now I only watch it for the Law and Order Criminal Intent marathons that they have sometimes on the weekends.
Yeah.
One of my most guilty pleasures, and this is... I don't know if this is bad or worse than Hannah Montana. I watch E! Mostly for the Kardashians episodes and series. And the E! True Hollywood Stories stuff.
I used to like that stuff.
A&E I mainly watch for Storage Wars and Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's pretty much the only stuff I watch on A&E anymore. They used to have Dallas SWAT and Detroit SWAT, but they don't show those anymore. Nickelodeon, only for Penguins of Madagascar and Power Rangers Samurai.
Boo.
Shut up. Spike is weird. Spike, I find I can catch... Actually, the only movies I've really caught on there lately are all the goddamn Star Wars movies. I love Star Wars, but Spike is, like, sucking on George Lucas's dick so hard. They air those... I swear to God, they air the prequels so many damn times. It's like at least twice a month the prequel films are on Spike.
You mean the regular ones?
No, the prequel.
Episode 1, 2, and 3?
I always
always catch the other ones.
I always catch the prequels. ABC Family, again, only for movies most of the time. There's really no series on that channel that I really care to get into. And the last one is FX. Back in the day when it was running The Shield, before The Shield ended, I watched it faithfully. I loved FX back then. Now, not so much, considering that asshole Charlie Sheen is on there a lot.
I love Charlie Sheen. Anyway.
So what are your networks that you watch a lot?
I do watch, we'll start with my sports stuff, because I do watch WGN a whole heck of a lot for the Cubs, and occasionally I have to watch Comcast, even though I fucking hate Comcast channel. But WGN was always good with Cubs back in the day. I wish they had all their games. And then I watched the MLB Network like mad. I actually do not watch ESPN at all anymore.
Well, see, I'm on cable. See, that's the other thing. You're on satellite, aren't you?
No, I'm on cable.
You are?
Yeah. For some reason, my package gets MLB Network and the Hub and some of those things.
I thought that was
things.
Only on DirecTV. That's why I asked.
No, but I love MLB Network, but it has completely phased ESPN out of my programming because I only watch ESPN basically for the baseball. So now that it's MLB Network, I just love that a lot more. So that's my sports, and occasionally I will watch Spike for UFC stuff. Because they show some of the fights sometimes, and they also have their little Ultimate Fighter reality show, which sometimes I watch and sometimes I don't. It just depends on the season and if it captures my attention or not. As far as cartoons and that type of stuff, the only channel I watch is The Hub. I know not everybody gets that, but I like some of the stuff on The Hub, and not only cartoons, but like I said in a different podcast, I have recorded all of the Wonder Years episodes. I still have 50 of them to watch, but I do have, I did get the entire series on DVR of Wonder Years over that first, because they've already gone through once and now they're doing it a second time, so I stopped recording them, but I'm still needing to watch the rest of them. I don't know, I just love all the retro cartoons. I love, obviously, Transformers Prime and G.I. Joe Renegades. I did give Nicktoons watch the other day for some Voltron Force, and we won't get into that.
That show is just...
I like the characters, I like the voice actors, I like the story.
The animation is really what bugs me.
The style, the animation, the theme song, the...
No, the theme song, there should not be fucking rap in Voltron.
Yeah, and if I have to see one more screen, either split horizontally, vertically, diagonally, or into three sections, I'm going to throw something at my TV.
Yeah, the problem with Voltron Force is the combination of 2D hand-drawn animation and the 3D lions that they're using.
Because it looks completely out of whack.
It does not mesh well at all.
So far, that just solidifies my idea that I should only be watching The Hub for cartoons.
now, hold on before you move on. Have you even checked out the Looney Tunes show on Cartoon Network?
No, but I want to.
Oh, you gotta.
For some reason, I just keep forgetting to record
it. You have to. It's every Tuesday at, I think it's at 7 your time. It's 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Right. And I will be watching some Nickelodeon for, they're the ones that are going to be showing the new Turtles series eventually.
Yeah, next year.
And what is it, Cartoon Network doing Thundercats?
Yep.
So I will give them both a shot when I do that, but most of the crap that airs on those channels I can't stand.
Right now, the only thing on Cartoon Network I watch is Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated and Looney Tunes Show.
For some reason, I don't watch that on TV. I always just watch it on
YouTube.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I will say that the only really times that I will ever turn on Cartoon Network other than Tuesday nights is at 6 a.m. and 12 noon Eastern time. They run old Looney Tunes episodes. Even though they're the edited versions, it's still nice to see the old Looney Tunes episodes on TV.
Right. As far as like new shows, I basically stick to... I do this every year, actually, but I really did it this year, hardcore. When the new television shows debut in the fall, I set my DVR to record almost every single new show for the first episode at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then I one by one watch them and decide which ones are going to make my cut and which ones aren't, even though half of them the network's cut before I can even decide anything. But I don't watch sitcoms or comedies when they first air.
Okay.
I don't watch them when they're airing new episodes. I always catch sitcoms or comedies in rerun form.
Yeah.
I did not watch Seinfeld ever when it was new, but I've probably seen almost all the episodes in reruns. I never watched like King of Queens when it was new, but I've watched all the episodes in reruns. I always hit those more so in once they hit rerun stage because, I don't know, it's not something that I get excited about watching every week. It's not something I set my DVR for. My DVR is restricted for the few reality shows I watch and, like, action/dramas.
Yeah.
That's just how I am.
Yeah.
But it was very frustrating this year because almost all the shows I liked got cut within the first couple weeks. And then the one I liked the most got cut after the season, so it won't be back next year, and I shed a tear for that. But so my new shows, that's how I do it. So it doesn't really go by network. I just kind of record them all and see which ones I like and which ones I don't.
Right, yeah. Well, the point of the first list was, like, what networks do you watch most?
Right. Well,
like,
that's what I'm getting to with my reruns. That's when I get dedicated to certain networks.
Yeah.
WGN, and there's another channel that does it too, but WGN always seems to have Star Trek The Next Generation on in reruns.
Yeah,
and there is another channel that does that also, and I got hooked on that for, like, I don't know, maybe the 8th time last summer. I don't know how many times I've seen all those episodes, not quite as many as I've seen the MacGyver episodes, but I've seen all the Star Trek ones quite a few times. I don't think Star Trek has ever stopped airing in reruns.
No, I don't think it has either.
So I watch WGN for that. I watch Ion because they always, always, always have, like, not marathons, but they always have, like, at least 3 to 6 Criminal Minds episodes on, it seems like, in a row.
Now, and I used to watch Ion back when it was called PAX,
mm-hmm.
and back in the early days of that network. I used to watch it for Sue Thomas FBI. I used to watch it for reruns of Diagnosis Murder.
Mm-hmm.
I actually used to watch it for a couple of its game shows, Shop Till You Drop and Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to watch it back then. I don't watch it as much now.
I'm just obsessed with Criminal Minds, so that's why I watch Ion, because you can basically see a bunch of them in a row or pick which ones you haven't seen and record them.
I'm waiting for that show to come to Netflix so I can watch it from the beginning, but I'm sorry, I cannot see Thomas Gibson other than him being Greg on Dharma and Greg.
See, I never watched that show, so that's why.
You have to try that. You have to watch Dharma and Greg. Oh, my God.
I do want to see Criminal Minds from the beginning because I never watched it until, like, maybe 2 seasons ago. And I've seen most of the other episodes in rerun, but I want to see it in order now.
Yeah, see, that's my thing with Numbers. I started catching Numbers on TNT at like 4 or 5 in the morning before Angel comes on between 6 and 7. And I was like, oh, wow, it's Bernard, the elf. It's Michael Ekman from 10th. It's David Krumholtz. Holy crap. What's he doing on TV? And I got sucked into Numbers. And then that's actually one of the reasons why I joined Netflix, is because they have all 6 seasons of Numbers on there, and I'm actually going through a season watch of that show. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That show.
But, I mean, I find myself mainly watching Ion. I watch Bravo a lot. I'm not 100% sure why I do that. I don't know if it's the reality shows that they have, or occasionally they have some reruns, but I watch Bravo a lot. A&E and FX maybe occasionally. I used to be a big watcher of TNT and USA and TBS, but I never watch that stuff now.
I will not watch. The only time I've ever turned on TBS anymore in the past year and a half is actually probably the past 3 years. Is in the early mornings to see if I can catch a Saved or a College Years,
yeah,
or even a Good Morning Miss Bliss. TBS programming, which I kind of want to get into in our second part a little bit,
yeah,
about talking about some of their shows. TBS programming now just, to me, just isn't funny. It's not my. It's all comedy towards a certain group, and I'm not in that group.
Yeah.
I
don't know. It's just a different set of programming from what I grew up with USA and TNT and those shows,
yeah,
or those channels. I do find myself occasionally watching the Hallmark Channel because they show old – I think this is the channel that shows it. They show old, like, Perry Mason and Murder, She Wrote and,
yep,
and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I think I even watched, like, an episode of, like, Highway to Heaven on there or something like that.
Yeah, Hallmark used to show all those shows. They probably still do.
So I do somewhat like Hallmark for that, but you know, it's really, I'm not faithful to networks. I'm faithful to shows.
Yeah.
But we'll get more into that as we go through. But what about some of the most, like, what are the shows that you watch regularly these days? The new ones, not the reruns.
I only put 3 down on my list,
mm-hmm,
because because mine, I don't really watch new.
Mm-hmm.
I watch networks. I watch, you know, the greatest thing about TNT, USA, sometimes Bravo, sometimes Oxygen, is at any point in the day when there is nothing, especially weekends, if there's nothing on, I can turn any one of those channels on, and there'll either be a Law & Order marathon or an NCIS marathon or some sort of marathon of a show that I love watching, mm-hmm. and I'll just lay there and I'll watch it, and I'll end up falling asleep for the afternoon.
See, in college I would watch the TNT almost religiously because of the Law & Order always being on.
But for new shows, it's really hard for me to get into new shows. Like Burn Notice, since the beginning, and everybody that has listened to Geekcast Radio, everybody that listened to all the other podcasts that we do, knows that I go off of initial reaction. That's just the way that I am. I don't care what anybody says. I will never stop doing that. That's just the way I do it. If I love a show in the beginning of seeing a trailer or seeing anything, I will go out and watch that show. If I can't stand it, or if I don't like the way it looks, or I don't like the way that it's promoted, I will stay away from it.
See, I understand that to a point. I don't understand it as far as just based on promotions and trailers, up to a point. Some things you know just right off the bat, but I usually try to watch one episode. I don't always make it through one episode.
Well, with me and Burn Notice, I get Burn Notice. It's got Bruce Campbell on TV again, which is great. But the guy, I don't know his name off the top of my head. I know his character's name, Michael Wesson, the lead guy on Burn Notice. I don't like the premise of Burn Notice. Okay, he was a CIA agent. He got burned. And now he has to, I never caught up to that series. I did see recently what USA did with Burn Notice, The Fall of Sam Axe, which is basically Bruce Campbell's character's story. I would have much preferred Burn Notice, the TV series, if it was based solely on Bruce Campbell's character rather than this other guy's character. I cannot get into Burn Notice. But as far as new shows, that's one of the reasons. It's like, if they're promoting it and I either like what I see on the promotion or I don't like it, I just sometimes miss it. I've actually just gotten into White Collar at the end of the second season, going into the third and the fourth season. I absolutely love that show now. And it's actually funny. It actually ties into something with Telecast. Holy crap. White Collar has Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Kelly Kapowski, as Peter, the FBI agent in charge of Neil Caffrey. It's Peter's wife.
Nice.
I watched White Collar, and last summer they premiered a series called Covert Affairs with Piper Perabo. I've had a crush on her for years. I love that woman. She's so awesome. So Covert Affairs is basically people, when it first premiered, people were like, oh, well, it's USA trying to do Alias. It's so not that. It's more of a comedy show. It's not really a comedy, but it's like an action comedy. You know what I mean? It's like, it has action, but it also has comedy bits in it. And Alias was way too serious to have, Alias had some funny moments, but it wasn't like this where it's action, action, action. Oh, here's a comedy moment.
Right.
And then the other one I listed was the Looney Tunes show, because it's a weird premise at first that Bugs and Daffy are roommates and they have to deal with all their neighbors like Yosemite Sam and Lola. And some of the characterizations I really don't care for as far as what they did with some of the other, like Lola specifically, they made her an emo stalker, emotional, oh my God, emotional wreck. But the Looney Tunes show, it's nice to see that Looney Tunes has got a revival. But the rest of my shows, it honestly depends on the network. Like I said before, for me, I end up watching at least maybe 5 or 6 hours of True TV a night just because I like the shows that are on that network now. And it's like, that's what I'll watch, or I'll turn on HGTV and I'll watch a lot of their shows and reruns. It's not really about new shows for me at all. So, yeah, White Collar, Covert Affairs, and the Looney Tunes show are mine.
All right. Well, I basically just have three, two outside of reality shows. First one I kind of already mentioned. I will not miss a new episode of Criminal Minds now that I have started watching that. Obviously, I saw all the first, four seasons in reruns. Since then, I watch the new episode the day it airs. I do watch it on DVR because I can fast forward commercials, but I do watch it almost always the day it airs. I won't miss any of those. I love that show. the new show from this year that I got hooked on that I was watching every week was Hawaii Five-0. I just, something about that show was the perfect blend of comedy, action. You know, I loved the actors. There's nothing bad about that show. I mean, is it like an award-winning epic show? No, but it's just darn right entertaining every week. And the other one, which was probably my one that I was most intrigued by this year, but it was also the one that got canceled after one season, was Chicago Code. I don't know any of the people really outside of the main villain, I guess you can call him, in the Chicago Code. I didn't know any of the actors that were playing any of the roles, so it wasn't based on any like actor that I liked, but it was maybe it was because it was set in Chicago. I don't know. It was just, I liked the idea of having not just like a Law and Order type show, not just a, you know, like a investigated into murders like CSI or NCIS or Criminal Minds or stuff, that this was like a, had the edge of it on like the political corruptness and stuff. So, it like
so a, it's kind of like Numbers, but with politicians.
Well, it's basically like, it's basically a police, the superintendent of the police force, and then her main officer trying to bring down a corrupt politician.
Okay.
And the kind of the webs that they weave, and they have someone. They had one guy that was undercover, and they, I mean, so it is a cop show, but it's also about bringing down the corrupt politicians. So it's kind of
so
like a difference.
So would you say it fits more in line with something like The Shield or something like The District that Craig T. Nelson was in? Something.
I mean,
like
I don't
that.
Know those shows a lot, but based on what I've seen of those, yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know. It just had a different spin on things, and I kind of appreciated it, and I really kind of fell in love with some of the characters and the actors that were playing them. You know, I kind of liked what they were doing, and I've always liked Delroy Lindo. And he plays a perfect corrupt politician. So, but those were the main three. All the rest of the shows that I watch regularly were all reality shows. I apologize to those that hate reality shows.
Now, going back really quick before we take a break to get into the actual main discussion, but you mentioned Bravo earlier, and I was going to say the only time that I really ever watched Bravo was at the very beginning of their Real Housewives series, the original show, The Real Housewives of Orange County. I loved that show in the beginning, and I used to love that they showed Celebrity Poker. I used to love that show. But Bravo has expanded their Real Housewives franchise to almost every other freaking city, and it's so much that I can't keep up with it. And
it's a lot of control.
Yeah, it's so out of control. I can't keep up with it. I can't even keep up with Real Housewives of Orange County anymore because I never know when the damn thing's on. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember at the end of the last season, it was like, oh, hey, here's Andy What's-His-Name with What's on Bravo, the recap of this season of Real Housewives and Orange. What, the season's already over? Fuck! You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. So, I think we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the bulk of the show, which will be what, Kevin?
Well, let me just, do you want me to introduce it now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is how it all came about, folks. Basically, Mike had made a tweet at some point. I can't believe I just said that. Do not promote Twitter. Anyways.
Twitter is awesome.
I hate Twitter. But he had made a tweet about that he was getting ready to watch something, or he was excited about, you know, watching something on, I think it was USA or...
That was probably White Collar.
Yeah, something like that. And I said something about his taste in TV shows. And it basically led to a discussion on, I made some type of comment about, you know, any shows that air on USA, TNT, or those types of networks are usually crap. So the gist of this show is exploring the cable networks. And are they all crap? Are they mostly crap? How do they stack up against the regular big, you know, the big four networks, or how do they stack up against the pay cable networks? And then just a little discussion about within the cable networks, you know, which channels are offering the best as far as original series go. So it's all about original series, and it's all about the cable networks. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
We'll be back after this. Will I go up to be?
Make me
are back. So why don't you lead this? Because, yeah.
No problem.
Your vision. So good.
I mean, basically, the first thing we need to do is tell you what we meant by cable channels, because some people might be confused, as, you know, the novice TV watcher doesn't know the difference maybe between networks and cable channels and whatnot. But the cable channels that we're talking about basically consist of channels like A&E, Bravo, FX, ION, Lifetime, Oxygen, Spike, Sci-Fi Channel.
Lifetime's not listed. What the hell?
TBS, TNT, True TV, WGN, and then USA. Those are all cable channels. It's not your big network for like Fox, CBS, ABC, NBC. It's not your pay channels like Showtime and HBO, etc. You know, it's all those other channels, the ones that are up in the 40s or 50s probably in your TV guide. But those are the channels that we're talking about, and I think just to start things off, we're just going to kind of break down a little bit of how these channels compare to maybe the big networks or the pay channels. And one thing that bugs me, and maybe it's just because I don't get the pay channels, but it seems like every season, all the ones that get all the critical acclaim and all the shows that are apparently the best show ever on TV are always either on Showtime or HBO.
Well,
bugs me, because to me, all they're doing is saying, because it's on those stations, that I think series, if you took the same series sometimes and placed it on NBC or something instead of HBO, all of a sudden nobody would say anything about that show. And it would be like, oh, that's not that great of a show, or it's okay, but it's a network show, so, you know, we can't give it that much credit. I agree that some great shows have aired on HBO and Showtime, but I think a lot of times those shows get credit just for being on those channels. And to me, that kind of has always bugged me. You know, like Sopranos, that was a great show. I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But I find it very hard to believe that every show that airs on HBO is the best show ever, which is what people make it seem like. But those are the ones that get the critical acclaim, obviously, and they are probably, though, the most comparable to our regular cable channels as far as the number of new shows each year. Because the number of new shows on the pay channels and these cable channels are very low. There's not a ton of new shows every year compared to, like, Fox, CBS, ABC, and NBC, which pump out, like, at least a dozen, if not more, shows for every season that are brand new. In fact, we're already seeing commercials on TV right now for some of the new shows that are coming to those big four.
Right.
So, I mean, one difference right off the bat between the different types of networks is the number of new shows you see. And obviously you see the most on the big four, and you see fewer on the pay and the regular cable channels. But I don't know, it just bugs me that everybody always says just because a show's on HBO that it's like the greatest thing ever.
Okay, well, since you pointed out HBO and Showtime, I actually looked up both networks on Wikipedia, and I'm just going to run down the TV series. I'm not going to run down sports programming. I'm not going to run down reality documentary series. I'm not going to run down Showtime's adult programming. And by adult, I mean Triple X. So there, Showtime's drama series include Dexter, which is running from 2006 to now, Billy, 2011 to present, which just started the Dexter is the longest-running series as far as drama on Showtime. Billy, Shameless, and The Borges all started this year. For their comedies, they have Weeds, Californication, Nurse Jackie, The Big C, and episodes? I don't know what that is. It just says episodes. I don't know. Like, Weeds has gotten so big that a TV Guide network actually runs it now on their feed.
Yeah.
Dexter, I know a lot of people love Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And for HBO, let me just look this up really quick. Programming. Further visuals. Sorry, I'm not fully prepared on the HBO side. Hang on. 1 second. Okay. No, I don't want future programming. God damn it. All right, so they have Game of Thrones, which everybody is into right now.
That's what I'm saying. Every show that airs on HBO is supposedly the best show ever.
Right. Oh, okay, but
That one looks cool. I give it credit.
Right. I'm just going down the list here as far as, like,
yeah,
ones that I recognize. I know everybody's in huge talks about Game of Thrones. Boardwalk Empire, Funny or Die Presents, How to Make It in America, let's see, Life and Times of Tim, True Blood, everybody's into the True Blood thing, Entourage, Wire, or The Wire, Sopranos, you know.
That's my point. Like, I have a friend that thinks he's like a god of TV, like he thinks he knows everything about TV, and if I asked him to list his five favorite TV shows, I guarantee you it would be Boardwalk Empires, The Wire, True Blood, and another one of those other ones you listed. I mean, it would just be HBO shows. And right. There's no possible way that every single one of these HBO shows is as great as people say they are.
Okay, well, for me specifically, I've never – the only one I've ever really watched fully and dedicated to was The Sopranos. That show is awesome.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I think – people highly rate the cable shows, the cable paid TV shows like HBO and Showtime, is because it's fucking HBO and Showtime. They can say fuck whenever they fucking want to. You fucking get it?
Yeah.
They can say and do anything that they want because they are a paid service and it doesn't come with your regular cable package. I will point this out later, but one series in our list here on the paid, not the cable networks. One series launched original programming for a network, and it was the first series to say the word shit without being bleeped on regular cable broadcast. That wasn't premium.
Yeah.
But. I mean, to me, a lot of these shows, and again, it does go back to what you were saying about you don't get HBO or Showtime. Same thing with me. I don't get HBO or Showtime. I used to. I remember HBO as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I love me some Fraggle Rock. Anyway, that's another discussion. But, you know, a lot of these shows, it's like, you know, people are talking about, oh, Game of Thrones, oh, Boardwalk Empire. And you're thinking, okay, well, these shows are probably on, you know, TNT at some point, or, you know, they talk about them like they're on regular television, and they're not. They're like, oh, well, it's an HBO show. I'm like, great. I don't get HBO, you know?
So since neither of us get it, we'll just assume, you know, the masses must be right, and the best shows ever are always on HBO or Showtime.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I think that really you know, any show, it doesn't matter what network it's on. It could be on, you know, cable access like Wayne's World was. It depends on the producers, the directors, the writers of said show.
Mm-hmm.
The Sopranos had amazing, amazing writing. It did. It had amazing actors. It had amazing music used in it. And I'm going to keep using that as an example for the paid channels because that's really the only one I watched outside of Red Shoe Diaries on Showtime back in the day when it was David Duchovny. But anyway, that's another story.
But yeah, I mean, so these the paid channels are the ones that get all the critical acclaim. As far as my main argument or my main, I guess if I had a little, like, main statement here that was all about the show was my argument was that the basic cable channels – what I mean is the network channels, channels, the main four, put out better quality than the free cable networks.
I disagree with that.
So that is my stance, and Mike's going to try to dissuade me, but my point is that I watch on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox almost are always, seems like they're that the people behind them take them more serious. It seems like the shows get better actors. They have better writing. It just seems like they always trump the shows you get on stuff like the networks we're about to talk about. But hopefully Mike can dissuade me from that.
Okay, well, there's one thing we need to say about the networks is most of them, like CBS is an example I'll use for now. You have CBS with CSI, which has gone on a multitude of years now. Mm. It always gets renewed because it has great writing and great acting. Critical. Criminal Minds, even though I've never really seen it except a few episodes here and there, that always gets renewed.
NCIS.
NCIS always gets renewed. I mean, I don't ever remember ever hearing that show ever being in trouble.
House. They didn't.
Yeah.
I hate House.
That's Fox. I don't like that show. But what I'm saying is, because of what the networks have for their not even new shows, just their regular, they always come back shows. The networks do have a one up, but I also believe that the cable TV stations have a one up that is on the networks as far as their original programming is to what the network's big programming is. Like, I used off-air, I used the example of NBC's The Cape. That got dropped. Another example I can give for NBC is My Own Worst Enemy. That got dropped after one season.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes back to my point, though, that the Big Four put out way more shows per year, so obviously some are going to get dropped. But there seems to always be a couple good ones, brand new good ones every year, and then there's always those ones that are coming back year after year after year. And just by the sheer numbers of shows they try to do, of course you're going to have a lot dropped.
Right.
My point is the cable networks don't ever seem to have anything that even comes close to reaching the quality of even the shows that get dropped from the Big Four.
Let's see, the quality of shows against the big shows that come back, I might agree with you on that, but the quality of shows versus what the big networks drop, I severely disagree because TNT and TNT and USA are the two that I will use as an example. The Closer has gone on for 6 years now.
I don't know how, but
it's good writing.
Well, before we get into a couple of those specifics, though, I know it's kind of jumping backwards a little bit, but let's just, you know, preface this that one reason for this could be because most of these cable networks, the idea of them showing original series or original programming was never part of when these channels formed. They were all formed as a channel for syndicated or rerun shows. They were formed for movie channels. Their main purpose or their main goal was never to air original programming for the most part. There's a few exceptions, but, you know, that's not what they were about when they came about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really, I don't think I can remember any until like the early 90s is about when I first remember one of the first types of these networks that was airing or starting to promote an original series. And yeah. I remember that being USA, and the only reason I was ever aware of it was because it was a thing where they always had Monday Night Raw,
yep,
or whatever they were calling it at the time. It was basically almost always Monday Night Raw when I remember this, but
yeah,
they would always show right after it, starting in the 90s, that's when they would try to promote a new original series, and it would air after Raw. And they would try to get that crowd to keep watching. And I remember, you know, specifically like La Femme Nikita, at one point, I think Pacific Blue or something like that was airing right after Raw. So, I mean, it wasn't until the 90s where I think most of these channels just started flirting with the idea of putting out original programming.
Right. Yeah, I will agree with that. Pacific Blue, I believe back in the day, it was on Tuesdays.
Okay, then that must not be the one. I do know La Femme Nikita was always after Raw.
Yeah.
And you know, so obviously they haven't been doing it as long as the networks have, so I'll give them a little bit of slack for, you know, a little bit of credit for that, and the fact that they're always going to be going up against the fact that they're not doing original series is not their main bread and butter, which that's all the main four networks are trying to do. So, I mean, it's not maybe not a fair comparison, but I don't know. I just, to me, even the shows that are popular on these channels are not my cup of tea. There will be a few exceptions, which we'll talk about, but I don't know. Why don't we just kind of go a little bit network by network and discuss their attempts so far and whether they failed or not.
Well, you can take the first two because I only watch A&E for the reality stuff. I don't watch it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. A couple of these are going to be easy because they really are still not really doing too much with the original series. A&E and Bravo are still almost all about either reruns or reality television.
Yeah.
I can't even remember all the – does Bravo do like the – they do the models and some of the food ones. You know, so I mean, their bread and butter is reality shows. They have had a couple. I've heard that Breakout Kings on A&E is decent. I've heard about The Glades. I've never really heard of anything about The Awful Truth or Breaking News or Significant Others on Bravo. But I will say that A&E seems to, the vibe from their original programming seems to be a little bit more serious than some of these other channels.
Yeah, it is. A&E, specifically with The Glades, I've seen ads for that. The Glades is almost like, just from me going off ads that I've seen about it, The Glades is almost like a Burn Notice type, but for A&E, and it's that same type. It's not, The Glades, from what I've been able to ascertain, is it's not the same premise as Burn Notice, but it's that same type of...
Right.
It's a cop show for A&E that isn't reality. It's, well, you know, something like that.
To me, you can almost break this into the following. I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I think you can almost group these into the types of programming they put out. And you can almost discount Bravo, Oxygen, and Lifetime.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same type of this more, I don't want to say female-based, but you know what I mean? They all go for that audience more so.
Well, Bravo goes for male and female because they do have, you know, the cook, like Top Chef and Master Chef and stuff like that. Oxygen always has catered to...
Lifetime.
Yeah, Oxygen, Lifetime, and Women's Entertainment, the Wii channel, which is not listed, we will not be talking about it. But those three channels have always mainly, you know, aimed at women.
Right. But my point is that they're all kind of in that type of realm. And to me, the serious ones out of all the ones we're talking about, and what I mean serious is the more drama-driven and action without much comedy, is A&E, FX, and ION. To me, those three do a little bit more of the straight-up, like as close as you can get to like the paid cable channels.
Mm-hmm.
To me, whereas I think TNT and USA are a little bit more, not lighthearted, but a little bit not quite as serious as those other ones. And then, of course, you have TBS and Spike, which are at the other end of the spectrum.
Now, see, the thing with TBS and TNT, those are both Turner Network.
Right.
Those are both are owned by Ted Turner.
But they put out completely different stuff.
Right, exactly.
To me, TBS and Spike, you can't even take serious.
It depends, but yeah, I would almost agree with
that. And then, of course, sci-fi is its own thing, which we'll get into.
Yeah, but, don't get me started.
But are there any of the... Let's start with the serious group. I mean, we already talked about A&E a little bit, but is there anything...
Well, see, I see FX, TNT, and USA. I see those three as serious. That's the way I see it.
See, I can't take USA and TNT serious because they always have comedy thrown in there.
Okay, well, let's look at TNT and USA first then, because... I'm just going to run it down. For TNT, you have The Closer, Leverage, Hawthorne, Men of a Certain Age, Memphis Beat, Rizzoli and Isles, Franklin and Bash, Dark Blue, Saving Grace, Raising the Bar, Wedding Day, Trust Me, Heartland, Saved, Wanted, Witchblade, Bull, Crusade, and LA Heat. Now, out of these, The Closer, Leverage, Hawthorne, Memphis Beat, Rizzoli and Isles, Dark Blue, Saving Grace, those, and Witchblade, which is now canceled.
Well, a lot of these are canceled. These are the entire run of every original series that these channels have ever done, so it's not just all current shows.
Right, but what I'm saying is those shows, like I just listed, all the shows that I just listed are the shows that I see are serious on TNT, which is Closer, Leverage, Hawthorne.
Closer is not serious. It's so comical.
No, it's not. Everything I've seen about The Closer,
I've seen quite a few episodes of The Closer, and I don't dislike it, but it's not. It's like a lighthearted version of any of those other ones, Law and Order, NCIS, CSI. It's like a somewhat lighthearted, not taking itself as serious version of those.
Okay, I haven't watched a lot of The Closer, but what I have seen of it, I've seen the lead character played by Kara Sedgwick. She gets really serious with suspects.
But I mean, but then it's just like Raising the Bar and Franklin and Bash. Like that's comedy versions of Law and Order.
Okay, well, Franklin and Bash. Since you brought Franklin and Bash up,
which
that
Paul
is
Gosselaar's
a new
in
series.
Both of those.
It just premiered. Franklin and Bash stars Breckin Meyer. and Zach fucking Morris, Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Which Raising the Bar starred Zach Morris, too.
Did it really? I didn't know that. Oh, well, learn something new every day.
I think it did.
Well, Franklin and Bash is the first thing I've seen of him on TV in at least 10 years.
Well, that's because you haven't been paying attention, because he's done quite a few series that have bombed.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, outside of his, like, guest roles on stuff, like, an actual series for
him.
Yeah,
he was on Raising the Bar, too. I'm just confirming that.
Okay. All right, well, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
I know, I just wanted to confirm it for everybody.
Okay. All right, so, and then on USA you have Burn Notice, Covert Affairs, Fairly Legal, In Plain Sight, Psych, Royal Pains, White Collar, The 4400, Beyond Reality, The Big Easy, The Dead Zone, G versus E, I have no idea what that is, The Huntress, Kojak, La Femme Nikita, The Last Ride, Lost on Earth, Monk, The Net, Pacific Blue, Peacemakers, The Starter Wife, USA High, and The War Next Door, and Weird Science. I would also throw in there Silk Stockings, because it was originally on USA. Out of these, pretty much Burn Notice, Covert Affairs, Fairly Legal, In Plain Sight, those White Collar, those are the serious ones I see. Pacific Blue was kind of serious, but comedy. The Huntress was very serious. Kojak was serious. La Femme Nikita was serious.
But they're serious, but not serious. They're, to me, they're like serious, but like as serious as the minor leagues is to the major leagues.
No, there's so much action in Covert Affairs, and there's so much
but,
action.
Like, you can't compare it to like 24 or like some other action show that's on the network. It's like they're just
not
as good.
Because it's USA's own spin. But I mean, nothing. You cannot compare any of these shows to 24.
I'm
or something
just saying,
like
those types of network shows. I don't know. Do you like Psych?
No.
Okay, I don't either.
Psych is not something I get into.
The only shows that I've watched on this list is La Femme Nikita, Kojak, a very tiny bit of Pacific Blue, and Monk.
Now, I cannot stand... I love Tony Shalhoub, but I cannot stand Monk.
But they're all still, to me, subpar original programming. I don't get it.
Well, Covert Affairs I really like, not just because it's, oh my god, I want to marry Piper Perabo, just because it's the first series that I've seen that puts a blind person in a CIA position, and it's so hilarious, but there is also action. One of the ones that I want to bring up with USA is White Collar. White Collar is, it's funny, but it's kind of like, I prefer White Collar over Showtime's Dexter, because they're actually kind of the two, they're kind of very similar to each other. Dexter is a serial killer who also helps the FBI, I believe. And White Collar is a former criminal who is now helping the FBI. He's not a serial killer. He's a con artist. I really like White Collar because of the cast. I didn't catch it when it very first started. I caught it at the end of the second season. I caught all of the third season, and now it's on its fourth season, I believe. And I really like it. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's a really cool way that they've done it. As far as the rest of it, like I said before, Covert Affairs and White Collar are pretty much the only ones I watch out of their current, you know, original programming. I loved Pacific Blue back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean
these two channels have done the most as far as making the most effort to try to be like a network. As far as like one of the big four, I mean, they've really started to pump out new shows, and they're really trying to go for that in certain time slots.
Yeah.
So I'll give them credit for that, but still, every time I see a preview for a new show on TNT or USA, it's like, who was in the room when these shows got pitched, and who gave them the green light? And
okay, I need to say something about TNT though. When I first saw ads for Men of a Certain Age with Andre Brower, Ray Romano, and Scott Bakula, of all people.
Quantum Leap.
First of all, I thought Scott Bakula was Dennis Miller when I first saw the ad. It was one of those one take, like you know, it's kind of like you have to do a double take on it, because I had just like seen it out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
Men of a Certain Age is Cable's reaction to Sex and the City.
And I've heard that show is great.
It's a male version of Sex and the City. It's these three or four guys, that are all friends, I guess, but they all have their own lives, but they all meet up each day or each, you know, whatever. And it's basically Sex and the City for men.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
It is. I haven't actually gotten into it, but the one episode I saw that I thought Bakula was Dennis Miller was something about him stealing a car, I think.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I haven't watched it all the way through, but every time I see ads for it and every time I catch like maybe 5 or 10 minutes of it, it's a really good series. But all in all, it's Cable's answer to – it's the male answer to Sex and the City.
So basically we have TNT and USA as the middle ground here. They're somewhat serious at times, somewhat comedic at times. They're kind of trying to do everything, but to me they're just not doing a good enough job. But to me they're in the middle. And I still say that the shows that we're getting on FX, Ion, and A&E are a touch more to the serious side, and I think the best example of that is running down the FX list with stuff like Rescue Me, Sons of Anarchy,
Justified,
The Shield, Nip Tuck, Damage is over there, Lucky, Dirt, The Riches, Lights Out, Son of the Beach, Starved, and I'm not going to name that other one.
Testies.
But I mean, and I haven't seen a lot of these because I'm not the type of person that can watch the stuff that they show on Nip Tuck. But
okay, now this is where I have to come in because FX started their reality, or not reality, started their original series with The Shield in March 8th of 2002. Yes, I actually remember the date, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday night, 10 p.m., March 8th, 2002. It was supposed to be this gritty, new, groundbreaking, in-your-face cop show, and it so was.
But I'm saying these shows are way better than anything TNT or USA has ever put out.
Okay, and that's fine. They're more serious. But again, I agree with you that the FX shows are way more serious. They have way less comedy in them.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot discount the TNT shows or the USA shows for what they are.
I'm just saying, I know what they are, and I don't like them.
Have you actually given them a chance?
I'll give them credit that at least I can understand why people do like them, and they're not unwatchable.
Now, some of the
if you take the best ones, they're not unwatchable.
Right, right.
Like, if you took the majority of the ones that survive more than a year or so, they're at least something that I can understand people watch them. I can understand them having a fan base. I wouldn't, like, pull my eyes out before I watch them.
Right.
Compared to one of the groups we haven't talked about too much, which is
Hold on. We got to stay on FX for a second. With FX, The Shield was amazing. This was the show that I said earlier was the first show on cable television that they allowed the word shit to be said without being bleeped. The Shield's first premiere episode, you have Michael fucking Chiklis, the goddamn commish, as this hard-ass cop Vic Mackey chasing down a suspect who has cocaine or some sort of drugs on him. And the suspect's like, oh, man, I ain't got it. You can search me, blah, 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 blah. Well, Vic Mackey searches the guy. And he's like, oh, you didn't think we were going to find all this cocaine under your nutsack? And I kid you not, it shows Michael Chiklis' character pulling a bunch of drugs out from under this guy's balls. If that's not serious and in-your-face and action-packed, I don't know what is. I mean, just the whole feel of The Shield is what set up FX's serious, drama-filled original series. Rescue Me is Dennis Miller's series. It's very cool. It's about him as a firefighter and all this other stuff. Sons of Anarchy, everybody loves that show. I can't really get into it. It's about a motorcycle gang, I believe.
I've heard great things about it.
I've heard great things. It's just not something I can get into. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is FX's one comedy show in this lineup, I think. That show just is too weird for me. I can't get into it. Nip Tuck, I agree with you. Nip Tuck is a more serious, more explicit version of House to me.
And I can't watch either of those shows.
I know.
but I mean, the point is that I think these networks, and I don't think A&E and ION are there quite yet, but I think they're trying to be more like FX instead of like TNT and USA. That's just my opinion. I think that's the direction they're trying to go. Yeah. I'm not saying they're there yet.
Yeah.
And there's none. I don't think there's any really shows that are worth mentioning that, as far as which ones ION has run so far.
No, because I don't know any of them.
But on the other end of the spectrum, we have TBS and Spike. Now,
I would also lump CFE into this too.
No, we're not. We're not. Not at all.
Would you say that's the worst?
No. I'll talk about that in a minute. Spike. Whoever is in charge of doing their programming should be fired and killed.
Okay, fired I can agree with. Killed, that's a little...
They put out the most horrific crap I've ever seen, and the biggest example of that is Blue Mountain State. Anybody that ever tells me they like Blue Mountain State, I will ignore for the rest of my life as to whatever they tell me. Because anybody that likes that has no brain cells working in their head. I'm sorry. I don't even know how this crap is on TV. It's almost as bad as when MTV tried to do a couple shows back in the day. And I'm not going to name which ones, but... I mean... I don't understand.
God. MTV, that's a show in it. That's in a show in itself for JCR. No. I don't know if you want to cover... Like, if you want to get around to covering networks eventually on telecast, but oh my God, is MTV... A GCR show in the future.
Right. Like I'm just saying, like, the stuff that they talk about in Blue Mountain State, it's not funny. It's not intelligently written. It's like a bunch of high school football players or college frat boys writing their own damn scripts. Being like, let's see if we can get away with this. Let's do the most crazy nonsense stuff just to see if we'll get it past the people that give us the okay, and the people keep giving them the okay. And it's just crap, and I won't say the TBS stuff is crap, but it is not for me, and it's attempts at comedy that aren't funny.
There's only one show that I ever watched on TBS, and I believe it's been canceled, was the Bill Engvall shows, because I'm a huge fan of his. TBS's lineup is Are We There Yet?, Meet the Browns, Tyler Perry's, House of Pain, The Caitlins, Down to Earth, Glory Days, My Boys, Neighbors from Hell, and Safe at Home.
I watched
Are
My Boys
there?
For a day or two.
Huh?
I think I watched My Boys for like an episode.
I couldn't get into that. Glory Days, I couldn't get into that. Are We There Yet? Meet the Browns and Tyler Perry's House of Pain. I'm sorry. I don't want people to hold this against me, but it is black comedy.
It's not funny. It's not, like, if, I don't know. And I have nothing against, you know, certain comedies and stuff like that, like... I love Kings of Comedy, and I love Queens of Comedy, and I love a lot of the stand-up comedians, but I am not a Tyler Perry fan.
Yeah, no.
And that's basically what all that is.
And Are We There Yet? They took the movies, and they made a TV series out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, seriously?
I'm just saying, like, the Spike and the TBS stuff are straight up, you can't take serious. They both are trying to go the comedy route, or the, you know... Spike's case of the juvenile route, and I think those two stations have failed miserably at original programming so far.
Yeah, I absolutely used to love TBS back in the day, like at least 10 years ago. Now, like I said before, the only time I ever turn on TBS is like 7-8 o'clock in the morning to catch Saved or College or Miss Bliss.
That leaves us with one network that we haven't talked about yet. And
my
opinion is actually this network is the most experienced at coming up with original programming. They've been doing it for the longest. They've been putting the most effort into it. I mean, they are trying to be a network that is based on original programming. I mean, I know that they have their sci-fi movies and they have reruns of classic sci-fi shows, but they center their network or their channel on original programming. Now, they've put out way more than any of the other channels we've talked about. And to me, yes, they've missed quite a few times, but they've gotten it right quite a few times as well.
Yeah. Let me go down the list here. You have Being Human, Eureka, Warehouse 13, Haven, Andromeda, Battlestar Galactica, Bionic Woman, Black Scorpion, Caprica, The Chronicle, The Dresden Files, Farscape, First Wave, Flash Gordon, Good vs. Evil, The Invisible Man, Mission Genesis, The Outer Limits, Painkiller Jane, The Secret Adventures of Jules Verne, Sliders, Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe, see a trend there? Tremors, and Welcome to Paradox. Now, for me personally, before we get too far into this, Sci-fi as a network on a whole, I cannot stand because of all of their crappy original movies.
Yeah, but we're not talking about original movies.
I know we're not, but I'm just saying, sci-fi on a network on a whole, one of the reasons why I do not watch it is because of that.
Real quick, if there was like a Mystery Science Theater right now that was like ongoing right now, they could take all of these sci-fi original movies and do them immediately.
Yeah, I know. out of the shows that were listed here, I loved Andromeda. I've never gotten into Battlestar Galactic or Bionic Woman. I never got into that. I loved Sliders, Stargate SG-1, 10-year show, Richard Dean Anderson,
best ever.
Best, yeah, agreed. Atlantis and Universe, I never got into. They are on Netflix, so I'm going to get into that. Like,
I've watched Stargate 1 from the beginning to the end.
I fully plan, like, once I get done with my numbers run through on Netflix, I fully plan to, if it's still there at the time, I fully plan to start watching SG-1 from the beginning.
I see. Podcast. Anyway, nothing.
I heard that future podcast.
I actually just recorded the mini series for Battlestar Galactica. Basically, Battlestar Galactica, for those of you that don't know, was a series in the 70s. It got reimagined, quote unquote, in 2003, and it started as a 3-hour miniseries, and then in 2005 started as a full-on series, and then it had spin-offs, or not really spin-offs, but kind of like Stargate SG-1 had Atlantis, etc., Battlestar Galactica, Caprica's the same thing, basically. So it's been going for a while, and then I think it got reimagined in like just a few years ago. But anyways, I am actually going to start watching Battlestar Galactica right now, because I've watched almost the entire miniseries, and it's actually set me up pretty good so far. Like you said, Andromeda, Sliders. I didn't ever watch Farscape, but I heard good things about it. And the Stargate ones, I haven't watched them, but they just look epic. And to me, that's what makes sci-fi almost... I know you were going to say that they're like the worst out of them, but to me, they're almost the best at original programming. Even though they've failed a lot, they've come up with some stuff that's way better than anything that we've mentioned so far.
I will say that for their original television programming, sci-fi is doing very well. They've always done well in that. However, their movies, and I know we're not talking about movies, but that's one of the reasons why I don't like sci-fi is because of everything else. The original programming is great. It's very rare. Like, I just looked it up. Stargate, SG-1, Atlantis, and Universe are all on Netflix. I will watch them on Netflix. I will watch the series, but I refuse to support that channel because it's so mind-boggling. It's like, why isn't Millennium on this channel? Why isn't Firefly running in reruns
on
this channel?
Well, it's the thing, you know, I think it could be done better. I think the people in charge of sci-fi could make some better decisions.
NBC!
No, I'm just saying, like, certain people could make better decisions as far as what programming they run, because the sci-fi genre has so many things out there that you could put on this channel.
Right.
But the thing is, with sci-fi, and when people are creating sci-fi stuff, that's just the nature of it, is that you're going to get some weird, whacked out, crazy crap. You know what I mean? You're going to get some stuff that completely misses the mark, because sci-fi, there is no like successful formula that you can follow, like a sitcom or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like, and a sitcom, you can basically do the same thing that's been done for 50 years and it'll work.
Right.
With a different,
that's true.
With different names and different setups. Like,
right.
With sci-fi, it's like you have to be so creative because you're always trying to do something that hasn't been done. And
right, exactly.
You get a lot of crazy crap.
Right, exactly. And when I coughed out NBC earlier, it's because NBC Universal is sci-fi's parent company.
Yeah.
And
I mean, literally, how do they not have... They should have rights for all the Star Trek series ever.
Yep.
You know... And there's so many of them from the original Star Trek through all the Enterprise and Deep Space Nine and Next Generation. I mean, they should have those running on reruns all the time. Like you said,
go ahead.
Like you said with with shows like Firefly, you know, I mean, we could go on and on about all the different stuff they could have in reruns, not to mention some of these that are ongoing. Yeah, X-Files, yep. I mean, that's what it should be. And then instead of running original programming, they should scrap all that shit and only run sci-fi movies that have actually been successful in reruns.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can make better decisions, but they are their own entity as far as all the channels. And we can't really compare them to any of the other channels we've been talking about.
I kind of can, because as far as networks, as far as what I watch, I will watch, I will actually sit through a TBS show before I sit through any of the sci-fi stuff.
Well, and I am watching the Battlestar Galactica reruns on BBC.
Right.
But, I don't know, to me it separates, you know, like we have A&E as the serious stuff, we have TBS and Spike as the other end of the spectrum, we have TNT and USA as the more mainstream stuff, and then sci-fi is its own entity.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I still stick with the fact that none of these are as good as the stuff we get on the major four.
I currently nowadays I disagree with you. Back in the day, if these shows tried to go up against like A-Team and Airwolf and Knight Rider and MacGyver and all that, I would probably agree with you. I do not watch network television anymore at all. I haven't watched.
You should have watched Hawaii 5-0.
I haven't watched Fox, I haven't watched NBC, ABC, or CBS in...
What's your problem?
...at least a year and a half.
Why?
Because I just haven't. Every time a new show has been announced for any of those networks, it's like, I'll look at it, I'll look at trailers, I'll look at the promotional stuff, I'll maybe watch the first episode, and I just don't care. Hawaii 5-0 is something I'm going to have to catch up on. I've only seen the premiere episode of it of the very first season. It was okay. It didn't really catch it. It didn't really catch me, but it's not something that I'm just like going to just say, you know, screw it.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm willing to look at at some point. But for me, one of the reasons why I haven't watched network television in at least 2 years is because I used to always buy the DVD sets for NCIS. I love NCIS. It's one of my favorite shows. But I stopped buying them, and the seasons have gone – like, I'm so far behind now on catching up on what's been happening, because I like doing stuff chronologically with that show and making sure that I know what's happened from season to season. I'm so far behind that I haven't even been able to catch up.
The two shows I'm looking forward to the most for next year that I think you should give a chance to is called Person of Interest and Alcatraz. But
I'll have to see stuff for them. I haven't. No, I'm serious.
Alcatraz has Sam Neill in it, and it's done by J.J. Abrams.
That's why you like it.
And Jim Caviezel's in Person of Interest, and I love Jim Caviezel.
Oh, you mean Jesus, lovely. Jesus is in Person of Interest.
The Count of Monte Cristo is in Person of Interest. But I don't know, but I mean, to me, I hope these channels continue to try to do original programming. I will say
for USA that Burn Notice, Covert Affairs, White Collar, In Plain Sight, Psych, and Royal Pains, those all have faithful fan followings.
I'm just saying I hope these other channels continue to try. Like, I hope and stuff like Ion and some of those other channels even try harder. I hope to see some more good stuff, you know, out of sci-fi. I don't have a lot of faith in TNT and USA, but I still hope that they continue to try to do it, because there's no shortage of places that are running rerun shows. We can get those anywhere.
Yeah.
So the more new programming that's out there, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah. I have not watched FX since The Shield ended. I can't get into any of the... I tried getting into Justified, and I liked Justified. It was really cool, but, again, it's like I fell out of touch with it, and I don't want to catch up at this point. I've got so much other stuff I need to watch. I never get into Damages. I didn't really get into any of... Like, The Shield was my main thing for FX, and that like, it's kind of like I had blinders on. The Shield, that was it, because I love that show. But And the other issue I have with FX, it constantly runs reruns of that show that is completely losing at this point.
What are you talking about?
Because it has Ashton Kutcher replacing Tiger.
Yeah, that's the worst decision in television history, possibly. You can't replace Charlie Sheen with Ashton Kutcher. Morons.
Anyways.
But I think I'd like people, you know, if you're listening out there, you know, go to this website and I want, you know, leave feedback. Well, who do you think does the best on original programming? The Big Four, the pay networks, or the networks that we've been talking about, the regular cable network? And what are your favorite regular cable network series of all time?
Yes.
Let us know.
So with that, we're going to take a break, we're going to go to some ads, and then we're going to come back with the outro.
Movie Week in Review is the GeekCast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on GeekCastRadio.com. Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
ToonCast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to ToonCast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find ToonCast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in. Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TF Joan Mike, and Pecan Court Michael move on to Transformers Animated, coming June 26, 2011, Transformation Animation Podcast. 15 podcast episodes covering all three seasons of Transformers Animated and the awesome toy line as well. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped this summer with the GeekCast Radio Network's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
We are back. So there you go, folks. That's our take on cable TV, premium TV, network TV type stuff, and comparing, contrasting, which is better, which is worst, whatever. Any final thoughts for you?
You know, just I find it interesting that these channels decided to, you know, whether it was in the 90s or if I'm getting that date off, but, you know, that they at one point made the decision to go the route of trying to come up with some original programming. You know, it's been a bumpy road, and I still don't think any of them are quite there yet. With the exception of maybe FX. But I'd like to, like I said, I'd like to see it continue. I'm always interested in seeing new ideas and new shows. I just wish I could take some of it a little bit more serious. But maybe that'll change over time.
Yeah, and I will say one thing as far as any of the cable networks, doesn't matter if they're paid or not. HBO, the very first original programming that they had back in the 80s with Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
HBO wouldn't have original programming without the Fraggles and the Doozers and all that stuff.
They would never do that series again, though.
Thank God. let it live on in infamy, damn it. Don't rehash it. Anyway, that's a topic for another show. Thank you for joining us here on GeekCast Radio. There's always get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GeekCast Radio. Mine is TFG1 Mike. Do you really want to give your Twitter out? I know you hate Twitter.
It's Optimus Solo, but don't be calling me douchebags just because I think Ryan Dunn's a non-story. Anyway.
Become a fan on Facebook, facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of GeekCast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Systems Commonwealth, the greatest civilization in history, has fallen. But now, one ship, one crew have vowed to drive back the night and rekindle the light of civilization. On the starship Andromeda, hope lives again.